From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. 8 years ago, Amnesty International ranked Georgia 50th out of 50 for maternal mortality. Since then, the problem has grown worse. The latest numbers from the State Department of Health found that pregnancy-related and associated death is more likely in Georgia than in Uzbekistan. Behind that statistic are people like Wanda Irving, a consultant and mediator living in metro Atlanta. Her daughter, Shalon, died after giving birth to a baby girl, Soleil, in 2017. And Wanda's joining us on the line. Wanda, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Brianna Lipscomb is U.S. Maternal Health Campaign Manager for the Center for Reproductive Rights, one of the organizations working to improve outcomes for women, and is with me in the studio. Brianna, thank you so much for being here.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Wanda, start with you. Of course, so many people listening have never met Shalon. What was she like?
Oh, Shalon was an amazing person. She was bright. She was vibrant. She was strong. She had a dual a PhD, two masters. She'd gotten them all summa cum laude before 26 years old. She was just an amazing woman who had just a deep love for women's health and health equity. She was a member of the globally recognized Epidemic Intelligence Service. She was a well-respected epidemiologist at the CDC. Besides the professional, she was an accomplished author. She had numerous scientific articles. She'd made contributions to several books written by her colleagues. She co-authored a book that we recently got published. She was well-rounded, a photographer, a gardener, an entrepreneur. She just launched a consulting startup, and she was my best friend and my travel buddy. We traveled to over 20 international countries in just the last 5 years, and she had wanted to start that love of travel with her daughter. We had a trip planned to Dubai that was supposed to start 5 days after she died. She was truly, truly an amazing, amazing woman.
Yeah, and doesn't fit the picture that we might have of, you know, a 21st century woman who dies in complications from pregnancy. She was thrilled when she became pregnant at age 36. You were with her during the birth, and I know you're still taking care of her daughter, Soleil, who we hear in the background. But to a much sadder occasion, what happened after the birth of Soleil?
After Soleil was born, Shalon was so excited to get home. I think it was 5 days after the birth, she developed a painful hematoma. She went back and forth to the doctor for that, and it wasn't healing. And then a few days after the hematoma, she started to feel not herself. She complained of headaches, weight gain, difficulty in urinating, and her blood pressure just kept rising. She kept going back to the doctor over and over again during those last 2 weeks, and was sent home saying, "Oh, it's you. Just wait, wait. It'll get better. You just had a baby. There, you know, no need to worry." And just that kind of dismissal, even though she kept telling them, "You know, I know my body. I know there's something wrong. I'm not feeling well. I'm not urinating. I'm drinking gallons of water, and I'm not going to the bathroom. My legs are swelling. My blood pressure is rising. I've got headaches. There's something wrong." And yet she was sent home. Even the day that she had the cardiac arrest, she had been to the doctor 5 hours before that, only to be sent home.
Oh, Wanda, I'm so sorry. I'm wondering for you, Brianna, have you heard stories like this before?
We've definitely heard similar stories through focus groups that we've done and other work with just community partners. We're hearing that a lot of Black women in particular, even when they have access to care, the quality of care that they receive when they access those services is not ideal. And that impacts their desire to even go back for services, but it is also impacting directly the outcomes that we're seeing.
Well, it is striking. In Georgia, African-American women, 3 to 4 times as likely to die from pregnancy-related complications. NPR's Renee Montagne did some very thorough reporting on this issue with ProPublica. She spoke with Dr. Michael Liu. He was then director of the Maternal and Child Health Bureau for Health and Human Services about what the stress of racism can do to the body.
We're talking about African-American doctors and lawyers and business executives, and they still have higher maternal mortality rate than white women who were high school dropouts. It's the experience of having to work harder than anybody else just to get equal pay and equal respect. It's being followed around when you're shopping at a night store or being stopped by the police when you're driving in a nice neighborhood. Those types of experiences create a kind of chronic stress that continues to gun the engine, which over time creates the wear and tear on your body's systems.
Brianna, your organization has worked with Yale Global Health Justice Partnership to report on race disparity in maternal mortality. This is part of a growing field of study about what's called weathering. It actually weathers, ages the body. So what are we learning?
Well, we're learning, number one, that maternal health is a very complex issue. And as long as we only address the clinical aspects of it, we're not going to move the needle. And so to your point about weathering, you have women that are exposed to these stressors throughout life, and that is impacting their health before they even step into a hospital. And so until we are able to address those systemic issues that are impacting health for women, particularly Black women, we're not going to see the closing of that disparity gap.
Well, and it's not just Black women, but women in general in the state of Georgia. Why is the statistic so high, maternal mortality for women in Georgia?
That's a great question. And I think that we're still in the process of trying to figure that out. As part of the Maternal Health and Rights Initiative for the Center for Reproductive Rights, one of our policy priorities is to improve the data quality around maternal mortality. And so we're supportive of the maternal mortality review committees that are being put in place. Georgia finally passed legislation in 2014 to have such a committee in place. But I think it's important for us to also make sure that the people represented on those committees are diverse, and that the communities most impacted by an issue are present as part of those policy and program discussions. Because right now we can look at medical charts and try to figure out, you know, what were the medical causes, but what were the issues leading up to that? And until we're able to answer those questions, we're not going to be able to effectively address the issue.
We're talking about Georgia's last in the nation ranking for pregnancy-related deaths with Brianna Lipscomb, we just heard from, and also Wanda Irving, who lost her daughter after giving birth to a baby named Soleil. This was in 2017. Brianna, I just wanted to mention, you just talked about the state of Georgia is doing something about it. The state allocated funding for the problem only last year, $100,000 in healthcare budget to address the problem statewide. This year, $2 million. What is that money being used for?
So, to my knowledge, the funds are being used to help a lot of the rural hospitals get up to speed, up to date on how to address these issues. You know, one of the leading causes, or a few of the leading causes of maternal mortality specifically related to pregnancy, are hemorrhage and hypertensive issues. And so to get our rural hospitals equipped, both with staff capacity, but also with, you know, real equipment in the hospital to address these issues in an appropriate manner is important. And so the $2 million is going towards quality improvement initiatives, often led by the Alliance for Innovation in Maternal Health, which is great. And so we're excited to see that progress. But I also think it's important to note that we've seen several hospital closures in our rural areas in Georgia, which impacts a woman's ability to access maternity care in a timely manner. And then we're also still seeing a lot of deaths occur in urban settings. And so we want to make sure that we're addressing those populations as well.
Yeah, Wanda, your daughter was in Metro Atlanta. Also looking at her Twitter bio, I see inequity wherever it exists, call it by name and work to eliminate it. So this is disparity was something that she was particularly focused on at her work at the CDC, among other things. Now, we can't say with any certainty that if she were white, she would be alive. But do you think race played a role in her death?
I don't think race killed her. I think it was the fact that doctors did not take race into consideration that made the difference.
So meaning that did they respond to her? Did they? Her health had been pretty good. She'd had a couple of complications in her life.
Right. But they didn't respond to her. They didn't take into consideration that she was an African-American woman and that there were stressors that the body had been undergoing and that they should look at the history and put the pieces together. I think where the mistakes were made were in the fact that they were looked at in a vacuum. Her symptoms were looked at in a vacuum and not really put together and say, oh, this is happening, and this is happening. We need to consider that there is something wrong here and look deeper.
Brianna, of course, prenatal care is a big part of what women pay attention to and doctors pay attention to in pregnancy. How about a postpartum plan?
So, you know, women are encouraged to go in for a postpartum visit. And I know just across the U.S., at times we struggle with making sure that women actually come back for that visit, right? But the other problem with that is that one visit is expected to assess everything for a woman after she delivers. And we know that maternal mortality we look up to 1 year postpartum. But for many women on Medicaid, their coverage only goes up to 60 days postpartum. So after that postpartum visit, if they need any other care or any other services, because Georgia is one state that did not expand Medicaid, they have no access to those services. And that's a major concern, because if there's complications outside of those 60 days, what is she to do?
Yeah, and that is something that Stacey Abrams said has made a big part of her campaign is the Medicaid expansion. But I want to end with you, Wanda. So tell us about Soleil. She sounds like a lively young sweetie girl.
Oh, boy. She's before I do that, I just wanted to also say, though, that postpartum visit is too late. Had my daughter had a postpartum visit at 3 weeks, she might still be here. The 6 weeks, 6 months, whatever, is too late. My granddaughter is an amazing young girl. She is learning to speak. She has a wide vocabulary, and she's also taking French lessons. She's a wonderful ballerina and a gymnast. So she is, but she misses her mom. We talk about her on a regular basis. There are pictures everywhere in the house of her mother. She knows who her mother is. But she doesn't know where her mother is. And one day she was at Gymboree, and a woman kept asking, where's your mother? Where's your mother? Because she didn't see me sitting right there. And Soleil looked at me like, what am I supposed to say, Grandma? And I almost lost it. And it's times like that I just, you know, wish she had known what an amazing mother she had. But she has a lot of her mother in her. She's strong, she's vibrant, she's active, and she's surrounded by love, by the village her mom had put together before she died,
Wanda,
and by her family.
Thank you so much for speaking with us, Wanda Irving. Really appreciate your time, and all the best to you and Soleil.
Thank you.
Brianna Lipscomb, she's U.S. Maternal Health Campaign Manager for the Center for Reproductive Rights. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.